KNOM Update News. I'm Eva DeLapp. It's 9:02. More than half of women in the YK Delta have experienced partner violence or sexual violence within their lifetime. That's according to a new study led by the state. Angela Denning Barnes reports from KYUK in Bethel that the survey interviewed 514 adult women in the YK Delta. It found that 51% had experienced intimate partner violence, sexual violence, or both at some point in their life. It also found that 17% had experienced this kind of violence within the past year. 17% is equivalent to
more than 1,200 women.
Andre Rose is the University of Alaska Justice Center affiliate, which conducted the survey between March through May. Rose says learning the differences between violence in the past year versus a lifetime can help the state direct proper services.
The lifetime numbers may indicate some historical trauma that needs to be addressed.
Lore Morton wasn't surprised by the numbers, but that's because she has worked with victims for many years through the Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault.
I think if you've not experienced working with women as they come forward, it's shocking. You don't want to think that the numbers are as high as they are.
Survey backers say the estimates are conservative, possibly very conservative in some regions. The survey only included women who had access to a phone line in an environment where they felt they could talk freely for about a half hour, the time the survey took. Rose says it did not include women living in shelters, hospitals, or prisons. It was also only in English.
We also know that the estimates are conservative because of the continuing stigma that's associated with disclosing intimate partner violence and sexual violence, particularly to a stranger on the phone. That's a very difficult thing to do.
Statewide, the Alaska Victimization Survey interviewed 871 adult women. It found that 59% had experienced intimate partner violence, sexual violence, or both at some point in their life. About 12% had within the past year. The survey project started in 2010 with plans to survey all regions of the state. The goal is for the survey to be repeated every 5 years. Michelle DeWitt has directed the Tundra Women's Coalition, a regional women's shelter in Bethel, for 15 years. She was impressed that more than 500 women felt comfortable enough to talk about the abuse over the phone to a stranger. DeWitt believes over the past few decades, there has been an attitude shift in the YK Delta about domestic violence and sexual assault that is making it easier for people to seek shelter and services.
Because we've created an environment in the region where people are much more willing to discuss issues around domestic violence or sexual abuse, we may have a group of people who are more likely to engage in the research, to speak with the researchers, to request services, to disclose, and to report abuse.
As for how Alaska's rates compare nationally are still unknown, but Rose with the UAA Justice Center says they are working on those details. Alaska state troopers say a van fatally struck a 60-year-old State Department of Transportation employee who was putting out traffic cones at the scene of an earlier accident on the Seward Highway. The collision just south of the Alyeska Highway turnoff killed Girdwood resident Robert Hamill Saturday afternoon. The highway was closed for hours as troopers investigated. Troopers say Hamill was placing traffic cones out to warn other drivers about the disabled Explorer when a van driven by 86-year-old Seward resident John Sadowski lost control and slammed into Hamill, his vehicle, and the Explorer. Troopers say Hamill was reported dead to dispatchers. Sadowski and his wife, Nancy Sadowski, were taken to an Anchorage hospital. Their conditions were not immediately available Sunday. Friends and family of an Anchorage woman who disappeared during a Kenai Peninsula camping trip in July remembered her at a church service. The celebration of life honoring Valerie Sifsoff was held at St. Innocent Orthodox Cathedral in Anchorage on Saturday, the day after her 45th birthday. The service also was held to thank people who have helped in Sifsoff's search. Sifsoff disappeared from the Granite Creek campground almost 5 months ago. A green tank top and a black jacket Sifsoff was last seen wearing have since been found. Family members say they will continue searching for Sifsoff. A group of U.S. and Canadian marine mammal experts want to rename a type of killer whale for the researcher whom they consider the founding father of modern killer whale scientific studies. John Ford of Canada's Pacific Biological Station in Nanaimo, British Columbia, says the experts want to rename mammal-eating killer whales Biggs Killer Whales in honor of Michael Bigg. The mammal eaters are now called transient killer whales. Bigg's observations off British Columbia and Washington State led to the identification of transients. He was the first to determine that individual whales could be identified by pigmentation patterns on the saddle patch at the base of their dorsal fins. Paul Wade at the National Marine Mammal Laboratory in Seattle says colleagues have begun using Bigg's killer whales in research papers. Now for the price of gold in New York is down $2.10, trading at $1,750.80 an ounce. An ounce of silver is down 5 cents, trading at $34.18, and a pound of zinc is at 89 cents. Alaska Airlines Flight 151 is expected to arrive in Nome at 9:11 and depart for Anchorage at 10:02. It's unofficially 20 degrees outside the KNOM studios, 8 minutes after 9 o'clock.